So for me, the motivation is a simple, so a mystery of the universe, such as dark energy and dark matter, inflation, and the Big Bang singularity. If we can replace some of them by modification of gravity, then that would be great. That's my motivation. Very simple. But from this point of view, whatever is beyond or whatever is different from GR would be alternative gravity theories. So I think we'd better put some criteria. And I think there are many people, and different people have different opinions, but this is just my personal point of view. And first of all, the theory must be, of course, consistent. Otherwise, that doesn't make sense. Okay. The second, the theory must be experimentally viable. Otherwise, we cannot talk about the mystery of the universe. And third, the theory, it would be nice if the theory is predictable. For example, if the structure of the theory is protected by symmetry, then we can make a robust prediction. Still, even after putting some criterions, we have many models, and these are some examples on which I have been working on. The first one is a Gauss condensate. This is the IR modification of gravity, namely long distance or long time scale modification of gravity, and this is motivated by dark energy and dark matter. Okay. And second one is a nonlinear mass of gravity, and this is the main subject of this talk. And this is also IR modification. And the motivation is partly because of this dark energy, dark matter, and also motivated by fundamental question. Namely, can we give a mass to gravity? Okay. And the third one is Hodge-Abelson gravity. And this is UV modification gravity, namely short distance and short time scale modification, motivated by quantum gravity. And the fourth one is a superstring theory. And so I have been working on the superstring cosmology. And so this is a UV modification gravity also, and motivated by quantum gravity and unified theory. Because today's talk is about this nonlinear mass of gravity, let me explain a little bit more about the IR modification gravity. Why do we care about this? So motivation is essentially gravity at long distances. And looking at gravity at long distances, there are many interesting phenomena, such as flattening galaxy rotation curves and dimming supernova. And usually people try to explain these interesting phenomena by introducing new form of matter, namely dark matter, and new form of energy, namely dark energy. Okay. However, actually in 19th century, there was something similar in the history. And people discovered that the Mercury was doing something interesting. And some people even try to explain this interesting phenomena by introducing new planet, so to speak, a dark planet called Vulcan. And some people even discovered it. Of course, it's not the right answer. And the right answer wasn't dark planet. It was changed gravity from Newton to GR. So this was the beginning of the success of GR. So I think it's natural to ask whether we can change gravity in the IR to address the mystery of dark energy and dark matter in this era. One way to do that is change the theory itself, like a massive gravity and the DGB model. And the second possibility would be to change the state. The theory is still GR, but we might be able to imagine that we are living in a different state. So this is the idea of Higgs phase of gravity, and the simplest one is the Gauss condensate, which I proposed some time ago. But today, I'd like to concentrate on this first possibility, and especially massive gravity. Okay. So let me explain a little bit more about massive gravity. Essentially, the review of the history of massive gravity, because most of you are not familiar with massive gravity, I think. Okay. So I put here a kind of seesaw or balance or whatever, because the answer to this question, namely the can we give a massive gravity? Answer to this question depends on time, and it actually changed a lot, many times. So you'll see the seesaw will move many times. The first answer to this question was given by Fias and Pauli in 1939, long time ago. And they asked this question, a simple question, like, can we give a mass to gravity, spin to field? Okay. Of course, we can give a mass to spin zero field, just m squared phi squared. For the spin zero field, we can consider Higgs mechanism. How about spin two, okay? And so they consider linear theory, so around the Minkowski background, they introduced the metric perturbation. And on top of this usual Higgs, Einstein-Hilbert axiom, they put the mass terms. There are two ways to give a mass. Namely, this is a trace of square, and this is a square of trace. So there are two ways to give a mass. And they fine-tune the coefficient here to be minus one in order to avoid Gaussian instability. If this is not minus one, we have an extra degree of freedom, which is a Gauss. Okay? So this is a unique linear theory without Gauss. And because of these terms, diffeomorphism are broken. And as a result, we don't have a momentum constraint. So we have three less constraints. So we have three more degrees of freedom. Namely, we have 5 degrees of freedom on top of two usual tensor gravitons. Okay. So this is the beginning of the history of massive gravity. And the answer was yes at that time. However, in 1970, these people came up and they say no. Okay. So they considered the massless limit of fierce power theory and show that the massless limit does not agree with GR. Okay. So there is a kind of discontinuity. The reason is very simple. Because this is a linear theory, we can always normalize the field to a canonical field. So we always have 5 degrees of freedom, however small mass of graviton is. So there is a discontinuity. And actually, if we calculate the PPN parameter, for example, gamma, then the massless limit is 1/2 and different from 1. I mean, GR has gamma equal 1. So this is completely excluded by experiment, if this is right. Okay. But 2 years later, Weinstein came up and he showed that the linear theory completely breaks down in the massless limit. So we should take into account nonlinear effects. And after taking into account nonlinear effects, he showed that the continuity so GR is recovered in a continuous way. So when we take the massless limit, the within certain radius called Weinstein radius, GR is recovered. But this is kind of subtle because continuity is not uniform with respect to distance. For example, if we take a kind of 1/r expansion, however small mass of graviton is, 1/r expansion does not agree with GR. However, if we fix the distance from the source and take the massless limit, then we can recover GR. And here, the Weinstein radius is given by the Schwarzschild radius and the mass of graviton. So if mass of graviton becomes smaller and smaller, this radius becomes larger and larger. And so we can cover, for example, solar system radius or size of the universe. So we can recover GR when mass of graviton becomes small enough. So Weinstein said yes in 1972. But in the same year, the Borean desert told us no. Okay. So they considered the similar theory, namely the nonlinear extension of the fierce power theory. And they showed that the Hamiltonian constraint is broken. So not only the momentum constraint and the Hamiltonian constraint, but also Hamiltonian constraint are broken. As a result, we have 4 extra modes compared to GR. So we have 6 degrees of freedom. Among them, 5 of them are massive spin 2 fields, but the rest one, the final one, is always a ghost. So because of the same nonlinearity, we have a problem. Okay. So this is a famous BD ghost. So in 1972, the answer to this question was no. Since then, almost 40 years, people believe that there is no way to give a mass to graviton. But fortunately, very recently, these people, including people in this room, found a way out. So they found a first example of fully nonlinear mass of gravity without BD Gauss since 1972, almost 40 years. And this is a purely classical theory, but the property of 5 degrees of freedom depends on background. So this theory get rid of the sixth mode, so the BD Gauss is not there. But within 5 degrees of freedom, what happens, depends on the background. So we have to carefully analyze the 5 degrees of freedom. Okay. Anyway, this theory is described by the so-called physical metric, usual metric, plus a four-scalar field. And this theory has a Poincaré symmetry in the field space. So we can make a shift in the field space, and also we can make a Lorentz transformation in the field space. So the, everything should be written in terms of the physical metric and this tensor called fiducial metric. Okay, this is essentially Minkowski metric in the field space. And this is the pullback of the Minkowski metric in field space to space-time. Okay. Okay. This is because of Poincaré symmetry in the field space. And the theory looks like this. And on top of the usual Einstein hybrid action, we can consider, I mean, they consider mass term, which is a sum of three terms, okay? L2, L3, and L4. As I promised, each term is written in terms of F mu. Okay? Here, in each of them, this square bracket is a trace operation, and the K mu is defined in this way, where this square root is square root in the sense of matrix. And G inverse is the inverse of the metric, and F is defined here, essentially Minkowski metric, okay, in the field of space. And it's easy to see that there is no BD ghost in the so-called decoupling limit. In the decoupling limit, this tensor K mu nu is written in terms of second derivative of Hilbert zero mode. So the, by plugging this to here, we can show that each of them are total derivative. So the Hilbert zero mode does not appear in the spectrum. So actually, this is how they found this theory. Okay? And away from the BD ghost, away from the decoupling limit, the Hassan and Rosen power is here, and they proved that there is no BD ghost even away from decoupling limit. So this is a fully nonlinear theory, which is free from BD ghost. So finally, the answer to this fundamental question turned out to be yes. Okay. So after having the answer to this question, it's time to ask the second question. So can we have acceleration without dark matter, dark energy? Sorry. Yes. Sorry, can you? Within the Weinstein radius, yes. Yeah. Yeah. But not obvious, yeah. Because this, so GR is recovered in the massless limit only because of Weinstein mechanism, kind of screening mechanism. Any other question? Okay. So the first answer was given by these people, and they considered a flat Friedman ansatz in the so-called unitary gauge. So the four scalar fields are identified as four coordinates in space-time, and the F mu is nothing but eta mu. And for the metric, we can consider flat Friedman ansatz. Then they calculated the Bianchi identity. This is equivalent to the equation motion for phi. Then it turned out that there is no evolution of scale factor. Okay. So this is kind of no-go result. And there is no non-trivial flat Friedman cosmology. And if this is correct for any type of Friedman, that would be that may be a disaster. So in 2010, the consistent theory was found, but maybe there is no viable cosmology. That was the situation. Okay. And it was a time, I mean, when I jumped into this field and started to think about cosmology of this massive gravity. Okay. So when I started to work on this, the situation was very bad. Okay. Fortunately, we found a way out. And again, the seesaw started moving. And so, as I explained before, F mu nu is the so-called fiducial metric, is Minkowski metric, I mean, the pullback of Minkowski metric from the field of space to the space-time. So the expectation value of this tensor spontaneously breaks diffeomorphism. Okay. So in order to have a Friedemann symmetry, we need to make sure that not only metric, usual metric, but also this F mu nu respects the symmetry. Okay. In other words, we need to find the Friedemann coordinates for the Minkowski metric. Okay. We know that there is no closed Friedemann chart in Minkowski metric. And so without doing any calculations, we know that there is no closed Friedemann in this theory. But actually, we can find open Friedemann chart in the Minkowski metric. This is nothing but space-time inside the bubble. So it's a mirror universe. So we can make a coordinate transformation in the field of space to the from the Minkowski coordinate to the Millingen coordinate. So this corresponds to this angle corresponds to the transformation from Minkowski coordinate to the Millingen coordinate. Okay. Then plugging this, we can obtain the form of F mu nu in this way. So this looks like an open universe, as we expect. Okay. And we can consider an open Friedemann ansatz for the physical metric. Then plug these into the ansatz, I mean, to equation motion. Then from the equation motion for phi, we get this equation. This looks complicated, but there are, I mean, this is actually simple. There are two factors, this one and this. So the first solution corresponds to setting this to be zero. And, but this corresponds to nothing but Minkowski metric, even for the physical metric. And so we cannot live there. So we should consider the second possibility by setting this to be zero. So let's consider this solution, and this is actually the algebraic equation for this combination. So we can easily solve explicitly, and this is a solution. There are two solutions because this is a second order algebraic equation. Okay. And so corresponds into the plus branch and minus branch. Okay. These solutions do not exist if k equals zero, namely. So if we set the spatial curvature to be zero from the beginning, we cannot find this solution. That's why previous people didn't find the solution. Okay. And by plugging this to metric equation motion, we get the kind of Friedemann equation. But the right hand side of this equation, we have an extra term. This is a usual term corresponding to the equation, I mean the energy density of matter. But we have extra term, which corresponds to effective cosmological constant given by this formula. So even without dark energy, we have self-acceleration. And the hyperparameter is of the order of mass of graviton. So if the mass of graviton is hyperparameter now, then we may be able to explain the acceleration today by this. And this plot shows the sign of effective cosmological constant. As I explained, there are two branches. In the plus branch, effective cosmological constant is positive in this region, where these two parameters are in dimensionless parameters defined here, okay? Alpha 3 and alpha 4. Okay? And in the minus branch, we have positive cosmological constant here. So in these regions, we can have a self acceleration without dark energy. So we have some good result. And also, we can have not only the flat Friedemann, but also open Friedemann and not only the open Friedemann, but also closed Friedemann and flat Friedemann. If we can slightly extend the theory, allowing for more general fiducial metric. So let me summarize so far. So finally, after almost 40 years, fully nonlinear master gravity was found, and this is free from BD ghost. And when we talk about Friedemann background, in the original theory, there is no closed and flat Friedemann universe. But the open universe with self-acceleration can be found. And if we slightly modify the theory, then we can find any type of Friedman solution. Also, if we calculate, analyze the cosmological perturbation, at the linear level, the behavior looks like almost like a GR. Okay? So the scalar and vector sector are the same as in GR, and in the tensor sector, we have time-dependent mass. Okay? So far, so good. But actually, this looks a bit strange, because we expect to have 5 degrees of freedom, but here we have just 2 degrees of freedom, because the scalar and tensor, scalar and vector sectors are the same as GR. Okay? So this signals some problem. Okay? So after obtaining this result, we looked at the nonlinear perturbation. Okay? But the analysis of nonlinear perturbation is a bit complicated and actually very difficult in general. So we found a way to do some kind of consistent truncation. Okay? So what we did is as follows. So we started from the Friedman background, and we deformed the background. I mean, we introduced anisotropy to have a Bianchi universe. Okay? So then on top of this Bianchi universe, we consider linear perturbation. And the linear perturbation on top of Bianchi universe was considered as a kind of non-linear perturbation on the Friedman background. When the anisotropy of the background is small. So we consider simple setup. The fiducial metric is Dojita or Friedman. And because in order to simplify the analysis, the pure gravity and the pure cosmological constant was considered. And as I explained, we consider Bianchi one universe with axis symmetry, and this is also for simplicity. Okay. Then on top of this, we consider linear perturbation. And we did some kind of small anisotropy expansion of Bianchi universe. So then nonlinear perturbation around Friedman universe can be included in this linear perturbation. Okay. There are two sectors because of axis symmetry. So in the other sector, we can have healthy modes. I mean, we always have one healthy mode, and the other mode can be healthy or ghosty, depending on how you deform the background. Okay? So because of anisotropy, axis symmetric anisotropy, we can consider we can deform the background in this way or in this way. So depending on how you deform, the other mode can be healthy or ghosty. On the other hand, in the even sector, we always have one ghosty mode, at least. Okay. So the ghost is always there at the nonlinear level. Okay. So this is a new instability, and this is not BD ghost, nor a Higgs ghost. Yes? This is how to say. So because we have axis symmetry, rotational symmetry. So the we can decompose into scalar and vector with respect to this two-dimensional sphere. And all the sector corresponds to vector, and even sector corresponds to scalar. Other questions or comments? So this is very bad. We always have a ghost in the Friedman background. Okay. So after that, we try to find a way out. And as you expect, this seesaw moves again. Okay. So the one way to do that is to have a defined background. So a Friedman background is bad. So we can break symmetry, either homogeneity or isotropy. So we decided to break isotropy, okay? Keeping the homogeneity. Okay? So we considered, we found the healthy region with relatively large anisotropy, okay? Because in some sense, the this ghost mode is appear. Ghost mode is due to small anisotropy. So why don't we have large anisotropy to stabilize? Okay. So that's what we did, and we found a healthy region with a large anisotropy. And the question is whether we can find the attractor in this healthy region. And so we classified all fixed points and did a local stability analysis around the fixed points analytically. And then did a global stability analysis numerically. Okay. So we found a good attractor in the healthy region. In this attractor, at this attractor, physical metrics is isotropic, but fiducial metrics anisotropic. So we call it anisotropic Friedman. Because of this isotropy in the physical metric, we can accommodate the usual standard thermal history of the universe. But perturbation can probe the anisotropy in the hidden sector, so to speak, so that we expect to have a statistical anisotropy. But this statistical anisotropy is suppressed by smallness of mass of graviton. So this is one example of attractor. This is anisotropy in the expansion in our universe, and this is anisotropy in the fiducial metric, so to speak, the Hilbert sector. Okay, so zero is here and zero is here. So at this attractor, we don't have anisotropy in the expansion in our universe, but we have anisotropy in the Hilbert sector. Okay, the system approaches to this attractor automatically as the universe expands. So the one possibility to get around this ghost instability is to consider anisotropic Friedman. Okay. So we expect to have a statistical anisotropy suppressed by smallness of graviton mass. But the expansion of our universe is totally isotropic. So we can accommodate the usual thermal history of the universe. Okay. Another possibility is to extend the theory. Okay. So as I explained, that there is no new nonlinear instability of the Friedman background. So one way is to consider a new background, as I explained before, like anisotropic Friedman. The second possibility is to extend the theory. Okay. So quasi-dilaton was proposed by these people, and this has a new global symmetry. So this has not only these four scalars, but also we have another scalar called the quasi-dilaton, and we have this global symmetry. Okay. And action is given by this. So this is a canonical kinetic term for quasi-dilaton, and L2 and L3 and L4 are the same, but K mu nu is replaced by this. Okay. F mu nu is again the Minkowski metric, but we have this factor because of this symmetry. And because of this symmetry, we have an exact scaling solution, which corresponds to self-accelerating Logita solution. Okay. This is very nice. Even with zero cosmology constant, we can have acceleration. However, we found instability again. Okay. So this self-accelerating solution in the original quasi-dilaton has ghost instability. So our paper and their paper appeared almost at the same time, and the conclusion was the same. So we found the ghost instability in this background. So we decided, with Antonio De Felice in Thailand, I decided to consider extension of this simple quasi-dilaton theory without breaking the symmetry. Okay? I wanted to keep this symmetry. But I noticed that this is not quite general, okay? So we can add a new term here, okay? So by replacing F mu nu by F mu nu tilde, where F mu nu tilde is defined by this, we can still keep the symmetry. And so because of this scaling type symmetry, we have an exact solution again, and this corresponds to the self-accelerating solution. And this is actually stable. If this new parameter alpha satisfies this condition. Okay. So this is, I think, the first example of unitary theory of massive gravity with all degree of freedom propagating on strictly homogeneous and isotropic self-accelerating Logita space-time. Okay. So let me summarize this talk. So I already explained up to here. And so we found that all homogeneous and isotropic Friedmann solutions in the original theory have ghosts. Okay. Either Higgs ghost or this new nonlinear ghost. So we decided to consider two possibilities. One is to consider a defined background. The other one is to extend the theory. Okay. In the first approach, we found a new class of cosmological solutions, which we called anisotropic Friedmann. Okay. So this leads to statistical anisotropy of perturbation suppressed by smallness of graviton mass. Okay. Probably this is the analog of ghost condensate. So for, when the anisotropy is zero, we have a ghost. And this ghost is due to small anisotropy. Okay? Why don't we consider large anisotropy to stabilize the system? Then we found a new stable solution. Okay? In the second approach, we extended the theory, but the original quasi-dilaton was unstable. So we decided to extend the quasi-dilaton a little bit more. Then we found a stable self-accelerating Friedmann background. Okay. Thank you very much.
Start by asking this nonlinear ghosty mode, is it, first of all, would you roughly speaking describe it as being the helicity zero component of the?
Yes, I mean, so the, it's, yeah. So as you can see from here, and also the from here. So the on the Friedmann background, the scalar and the vector sectors, I mean, have vanishing kinetic-time. And so they acquire kinetic-time at the cubic order. And because this is cubic order, the sign can be either positive or negative, depending on how you deform the background. And so the typically scalar mode gets negative mode. So the So these two Helsing modes are tensor modes, and these three are scalar and vector modes. Friedmann background.
Okay, and so a related question is, I guess maybe it's not so clean, but is there some condition on the wave number beyond which it becomes ghosty, or
For any k, yeah. There is at least one ghost mode. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, Daddy.
So at some point in your talk, the healthy accelerating solutions were required to be open universes rather than closed universes.
No, actually, as I said, we found the open Friedmann solution, and we killed the solution by ourselves.
Okay.
Yeah. So this solution has a ghost.
So is there any restriction on the open or closedness with the fully healthy solutions that you have now? Because I was thinking, you know, there's this statement where if the universe is closed at a certain level, then you can rule out inflation in certain cases. Is there any similar thing that you can say here? Like, does the universe have to be open or closed with a certain level of curvature for these healthy solutions? Or has that restriction gone away now?
If this solution was stable, then, I mean, in the original theory, we should have an open universe. But spatial curvature can be as small as you want. But unfortunately, this solution has a ghost, so we cannot think of this as a realistic background. So we decided to consider a different class of solutions, which is anisotropic Friedmann. Okay. In the original theory, or we can extend the theory.
And in these new solutions, there's no restriction on the curvature being positive or negative. These can have whatever curvature they want. In these new theories, is there a restriction on the sign of the curvature?
Yes and no. In this original theory, in this theory, we consider the k equals zero. I mean, the flat Friedmann. Yeah. So the scaling solution corresponds. This scaling solution has vanishing curvature, spatial curvature. Yeah, so flat Friedmann. Because the physical metric is flat, I mean, here.
So, about the nonlinear ghosts again. So yes. Even the healthy modes, the fact that they don't have a kinetic energy but acquire one only at cubic order, doesn't it mean that they are always strongly coupled, in fact?
Yeah.
So
right.
They're not very healthy.
Yeah. So we check that there is no mass gap.
Excuse me?
We confirm that there is no mass gap, so we cannot integrate it out. And so there is always a strongly coupled.
And about your anisotropic Friedmann, so you say that statistical anisotropies are suppressed by the mass of the graviton.
Right.
But on the other hand, when you go to cosmological scales, the momenta are of the order of the mass of the graviton. So does it mean that you have order one anisotropies?
Maybe, but I'm not sure. I mean, at least I can say that when mg goes to zero, the Hilbert sector is decoupled, and there's no effect. I mean, because expansion of our physical metric is isotropic. And as far as the coupling between matter perturbation and the Hilbert sector are, I mean, suppressed, I don't expect to have anisotropy. So I think at least in the limit where mg goes to zero, this anisotropy should be suppressed. But I don't know how the power of this suppression.
Yeah. Thank you.
I have one question. What governs the dynamics of the fiducial metric? So you have this Robertson-Walker fiducial metric. Does that satisfy a Friedmann equation, or what governs the dynamics?
Yeah, fiducial metric is a part of the theory. So the, I mean, so for example, in, okay, maybe. Yeah, in the original theory, in the original theory, we invoke the Poincaré symmetry in the field space. So the fiducial metric is Minkowski. But if we invoke the Dojita symmetry, then this is a Dojita. And there is no dynamics. It's fixed by the theory. And so if we, I mean, there is a choice. I mean, so if we want to consider bimetric gravity, then we can give a kinetic term to other metric. But that is a different theory.
I'm glad you stopped at this one because it's exactly the question that I want to ask. Because if we just, a long path has led to this, which says that I can get an acceleration by a totally different mechanism, which is proportional to mg squared. And so just forgetting about all of your infrastructure, but exactly what it is that that's doing in the interaction of this theory with the vacuum, whether or not lambda can sustain x and t variations, that is to say, the extent to which the acceleration that is generated would in fact really be uniform, or would it have changes? Since you've got another mechanism for acceleration, is it a camouflage of a cosmological constant? Or is it more dynamical and et cetera? You know, just I see. Chat about lambda plus minus.
I see. So at this in this theory, the mass of graviton is given by hand, and so in this case, kind of how to say the cosmological effective cosmological constant is given by the condensate of the F mu nu, and so the. But unfortunately, this theory is not given by kind of spontaneous symmetry breaking. I mean, so that if we have a kind of Higgs mechanism, and we can talk about the state without symmetry, I mean, with a zero graviton mass and a state with a finite graviton mass. And then when we consider evolution from the former to the latter, then probably we can generate a cosmological constant in this way. But at this moment, the theory is not given by the symmetry breaking, but symmetry breaking like a Higgs mechanism. So the mass of graviton is fixed, And so in this case, this is, how to say, at best, can be considered the condensate of F mean.
Right, so that's actually then getting to my issue. So your phis are a dynamical field.
That's right.
That lead to a dynamical field F mu nu.
Right.
But let's go back to the fundamental fields, namely the phi A. Mm-hmm. So the lambda is intimately connected to the dynamics of phi A.
Right.
And therefore, saying that it's a universal constant is probably wishful thinking, and that it would have variations, and the variations could in fact be its Achilles heel relative to observations. I'm putting words in your mouth, so I'm trying to get a response.
Yes. So I don't know. I mean, so yes.
Phi carries waves, does it?
Phi.
It's got, you know, waves and effectively
yes,
propagation,
they do, yeah,
speed,
they do, yeah,
near
they do,
speed
yeah.
of light, blah blah blah.
Yeah.
Right?
So the but I mean, at least in the modified theory, new I mean the in the new theory. At least in the extended quasi-dilaton theory, we have a phase acceleration, and all modes are propagating. Yeah.
So getting.
Yeah.
I'm
so that,
asking,
but,
I'm asking too many questions about
sorry.
This, but so were you envisaging the Bianchi type ultra large as essentially a condensate as well? So that's
right,
epsilon
right.
mu nu. So
yeah, yeah.
So that essentially you're producing not just isotropic. F mu nu, but you're imposing an anisotropic F mu nu, and but that will have wave structure on all scales. So the fact that you'd have the ultra large scales is well, maybe who knows?
Yeah. So that this yeah. So this in this background, the anisotropy is order one. Okay. So there's no new scales. Except for the haploparameter in the field symmetry.
It's anisotropic acceleration?
Not really. I mean, so in this on this attractor, sorry, on this attractor, the expansion in our universe is isotropic. So anisotropy in expansion in our universe is zero.
Just curious. Does this theory allow bounce as the singularity? I mean, it's not in violation.
I think David somewhere considered that possibility. Yeah. But yeah. So I mean, mass of graviton can violate the null energy condition. So in principle we can, but the problem may be that the cutoff of this theory is. Rather low, so I'm reluctant to use this kind of theory to add universe. But in principle, you can.
Thanks.